Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Lamb goes in motion. Here's a little toss left to Williams on the end. He gets a couple of blocks. First down. Left side 40. Steal way out in front downfield. And he was stripped of the ball stepping out of bounds. And is it in play or is it a Bears recovery?
Bears ball.
Stevenson, the cornerback, recovered it.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You got to be freaking kidding me. As Tolos tweeted, the Cowboys will figure out a way to amaze you. Plays that you rarely see. It's not like we've never seen that. But here you are. You're feeling good. You get an early Bears stop. Javonte Williams, the battering ram, running it down the throat. And then Stevenson takes it away, keeps both feet. It's like retaining an interception, getting both feet inbounds with the control. He did. I think that was after a 26-yard gain.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed?
They open the game like it's like an 8-yard run from Javonte Williams, and then it's like a 26-yard run, and you're like, holy cow, you're going to run all over him. And then we had no idea from where we were sitting the ball came out. Like at first, you just see them celebrating. It's like, yeah, did he take that? There's no way. And then you see the video up there, and it's like, oh, damn. All right, well, the guy who is giving up Hail Marys in Matt Eberflus's system is this year just – making the most ridiculous strip the ball and drag your toe plays. It was a very, very good play.
It was. I mean, Mahomes did something like that too. The same thing. Not the same thing, but similar.
I think that's Collinsworth is still slobbering over it.
Yeah. Oh, that was embarrassing though. You can't.
That's embarrassing.
Okereke can't go in that meeting room.
Who?
Okereke, the guy. Bobby.
Oh, the guy who got the ball taken.
Yeah, he had the ball taken away from Mahomes.
I thought you meant Collinsworth.
Oh, no. Collinsworth, he'd go in any meeting he wants with Mahomes, it seems like. But yeah, he can't. Okereke, he can't go in that meeting room with the Giants.
Javonte gets stripped. Odunze then scores the touchdown against Diggs, and it's 7-0. 7-0 just like that. I'm still going to give one of my rare star ups to Javonte Williams.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good for Javonte.
Overall.
10 for 76, 7.5 a carry, a long of 22. I mean, he was still a force. And he's still making me feel really, really good about the running game. So I will go star up to Javonte Williams. It's your Cowboys report card. It's star up, star down here on Sean and RJ, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods.
Why does he go 2 for 30 to open the game? You lose CD, running him out of the backfield, by the way.
Yeah.
You lose CD, and then he gets, I think Javonte Williams got 7 carries after CD went out.
All right. Oh, game got away from us.
Two instances to focus on.
Two instances.
In terms of Javonte work. A lot of people are now, to me, it's a hindsight nitpick of CD carrying the football.
Yes.
You know, I see a Mike Leslie and I see other people, you know, after it becomes popular on social media, I'm turning into Bobby here. Why is CD carrying it? You got Javonte, this is such and such a clip. Look, man, you're going to have different plays.
Yeah, you're playing football here.
The guy runs reverses. Everyone, when he was coming out of Oklahoma, was just lauding him for the ball in his hands. Tyreek Hill's going to get reverses. I have no problem with different ways to get the ball in the hands of your best player. So I'm not going to blame Brian Schottenheimer for CeeDee Lamb getting hurt. I'm just not.
It's a play they ran last year. McCarthy ran the same play. It's like, it's okay.
Ooh, that's a bad indicator.
It's a lot of teams run that play. You tell me Tyreek Hill's ever run a running play before? Yeah.
So here's the only difference. And I was standing in Schottenheimer's press conference last night. And
wow.
I know. I'm a big deal. So I was like, I thought about asking him about it. And then as I'm standing there, I thought about it. And I was like, it doesn't feel fair. It probably doesn't feel fair because it's the insinuation naturally is going to sound like, did you get CD hurt? Is this you? Like, A, that's just an aggressive way to come at it. But B, the other aspect was like, yeah, you know what? He got hurt probably because he tripped over his own ankle. His foot kind of clips his ankle when he was crossing over. And when his foot clipped, then he kind of awkwardly planted. And that happens regardless. But the only counter to the idea of just guys get hurt on reverses and different things like that is generally the reverse is going to be in space. When you're running him right out of the backfield, you are running him into traffic with big defensive linemen. Like, the idea with the reverse is you get guys flown one way, you take the ball, and then you're kind of in open space and you get to make moves. And that's no different than taking a quick pass or something like that. But running him out of the backfield, the question is just, are you running him, especially a guy who's not built like Debo,
yeah,
are you running him into too much traffic?
I'm still okay with it. The other Javonte usage question I had was when they failed at the goal line, they threw the third down pass to Pickens on the fade. I could not have hated the call and the play more. I hate that. You're right down there near the goal line, and I think Dak ends up with the interception. Is that ended up with what?
Are you talking about the one in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Late? Yeah.
He ends up throwing the interception, and I'm like, look, you can just run it at least once or even twice with Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. Like, don't throw up the third down fade route to Pickens. But those are the questions I had on Javonte's usage. So that is a star down for the fumble, a star up for his overall game for me to begin.
All right, and one of my star downs is, and we talked about this being a potential issue, it's how good Brandon Aubrey is. And you're down. It's early on. You've had the fumble on the first drive. Second drive rolls around. It's fourth and two for the Bears 34. And you lean into the, hey, this is an automatic three because it's Brandon Aubrey. Let's just take the points.
No, man. No. You got up to the line of scrimmage and you did the whole, oh, I'm gonna yes, walk, yeah, and I'm going to point, and then, yeah, I'm going to waste a timeout.
You're not including the timeout.
They didn't even think of that. They planned to burn one.
They basically planned to, like, let's, yeah, just use one.
And
let's do this.
Like, guys, like, it's fourth and two is not even a, we're not trying to trick you here. Just run a play. Fourth and two is a go for it, especially at that part of the field.
I was totally fine with them going for it.
Yeah, I mean, even Mike Vrabel had the same exact yardage, same exact play yesterday, and he went for it. And that guy is the most conservative dude. I mean, he could have been at the Kirk rally yesterday. He's so conservative. All right? So, it's, come on. Like, what are we doing?
Who made the left joke on our group text? Someone.
That was
a good joke.
It was not me. It was me relayed Nick Harris's joke. Oh. About he was just talking about something. It was something. Phil had tweeted something. He goes, oh, I guess.
Phil's, oh, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson. Lefty.
Phil, yes. Mickelson had tweeted something very right wing, and Dick said, oh, I guess we know he's not a lefty after all.
And then I'll have to go back. I'm not really going to go back. I'm just sounding like I'm going to watch film. I'll have to go back. I'll have to have someone tell me how all the second half timeouts got burned, because when I was looking at the clock, I feel like I was the only person in DFW who was like, the game's not totally over here. I even had a question about Dak getting pulled when he did. Because before that interception, you score there and it's 10 and you're in it. I think there was like 4 minutes, 4:45 left. So I was like, is this too early for Joe Milton? But I look at the clock in order to try to strategize. They didn't have any timeouts. I felt like all their timeouts were gone before they actually should have been. But again, I don't feel that confident in that opinion. I'll have to have Will Chuck or Broadus tell me why all the timeouts were not there.
So they were down after Dak threw the interception and they're down 31-14. Then the next time when they ran the ball with 4 minutes left, Chicago's trying to drain the clock, and every time they stopped them, they called timeout,
okay,
to try and keep as much clock time as they could.
Okay. Some star ups, star downs, Pepe on the fan text, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods.
Yeah, we got 817 says star up to George Pickens for stepping in after CD got hurt. 214 says star up to Williams, Ferguson, and Brock Hoffman. 214 also says too many to count for star downs. And 936 and 817 both say star down to Diggs.
Let's keep it on Schottenheimer while we're talking about timeout usage and some play calling issues. Bobby Belt stepped to the plate with a star down for the head coach.
Should I say
for the offensive coordinator?
I mean, I'm going star down for there's not very many people in deserving of a star. Maybe Joe Milton. What a performance by Joe Milton.
Tremendous.
Before he threw a pick.
Tremendous.
I did, by the way, I went to Twitter immediately and started searching when Joe Milton came in there. And sure enough, I found it. Oh, Joe Milton looked like prime Brett Favre out here. And then they went, Joe Milton, if the Dolphins had him instead of Tua. And then they were showing a gif of Dan Marino throwing the football. But yeah, this is
trade him while you can.
I don't know what was up with the game plan yesterday from Brian Schottenheimer. And I understand, again, maybe we get in there and we talk to him today at 4:30 or 4:15, whenever it is he's speaking today. And we say, hey, what was up with this? What was up with that? And he's going to say, we had a different game plan with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was going to do all these different things for us, and then we couldn't do it because he went out. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're going to say. But you've got to take some shots against that Bears secondary. They're not good. They have the same problems you have.
They're down players.
And they didn't. They must not trust the offensive line. They must not trust the tackles at all, because there's no other reason I can think of as to why you were just trying to get the ball out, throw another three-yard route to Jake Ferguson, settle for those sort of things, instead of trying to just, hey, let's block this up and let's run some deep crossers. Let's run some posts. Let's run some corners. Like, let's try to push the ball downfield a little bit. And they have just refused to do that. And I don't know why yesterday of all days, with the field surface fine, didn't run into any weather issues with the surface yesterday, why they just allowed Chicago to push the ball like they did, and you didn't use the player who, by the time CeeDee left, was your best player left on the field. Dak is your best player left on the field at that point. Why are you not pushing the ball down the field with him? Why are you not taking advantage of it?
Are you giving Ferg a slight star up? 13 catches, 6.3 a catch.
Sure, it
though.
Was nice to have Michael Thomas yesterday for an afternoon.
Man, when you throw when you have a tight end get 13 catches, that signals something's wrong. Like maybe like Dak.
Well, CeeDee's gone.
Well, CeeDee's gone, there but I go. Mean, you still have Pickens, right? It's like
Pickens had 5 for 68.
Yeah, but 13? I mean, 13 is like, that's what a backup quarterback does. They just lean into the tight end because they're scared.
I mean, Pickens was getting doubled pretty heavily yesterday. After Lane went out, they just went, all right, let's double Pickens.
But again, you talk about a number three wideout. You know, Cavante had 2 for 64. Jalen Tolbert had 3 for 24. Star up, star down, brought to you by Wild Fork here on the Fan.
They were just trying to get the ball out quick yesterday, it felt like. I would guess that yesterday, I'll look at it during the break. I got to see what his intended air yards were, because there was nothing pushed down the field. Other than he had that one throw to Turpin down the sideline, which is late, where Turpin kind of got laid out. But
not kind of.
Otherwise, I mean,
he got murdered.
You've got really nothing that you really tried to push down the field. And again, maybe a lot of it, when I watched tape of Chicago, everything that they gave up that was big, deep overs, deep crossing routes, like that's the way to get them confused and to cause them to cover poorly. And I don't know, maybe they thought, all right, we're gonna run all this with CeeDee and Pickens and we're gonna cross him up and we're gonna get all these things, and then all that went out the window as soon as CeeDee couldn't run.
Well, let's talk about one of the tackles, because I'm gonna have to rely on post-huck clarity tomorrow when Bobby rewatches this mess at 7:20 tomorrow here on the show. I'm not loving the instances that I see from Tyler Guyton. I'm not.
Dude.
It's a body language thing, too, for me. I wish I could take some of Tyler Booker's body language and put it into Guyton. 3rd and 3, false start.
I had that in my star down. Can't. You're inside the 10, or you're at the 10.
Yeah. Led to an Aubrey chip. That's 14-6, but that's a 3rd and 3 false start. He whiffed against Robinson. You're opening the third, right? This is your, okay, here we go now. It's 24-14. Let's make this a one-score game. He whiffs totally against Robinson. Opening third down, you automatically punt. And again, a punt on this team is basically like giving the other team the ball at least three.
At least three, yeah. Right? Your expected points is probably 3.6.
The way the defense is playing, punting the ball is similar to a turnover around midfield. It's very similar for most teams.
All right, let's continue. Star up, star down, and the defensive help that's coming, he got arrested a short time ago. It's the home of the Cowboys. We continue. The other devastation that happened inside the NFC East, it's not going well. Let's stay together. We need you, especially with a Micah Parsons sweet giveaway for Sunday Night Football. It's all on the way on Sean and RJ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Now, I know CeeDee Lamb afterwards was talking about, hey, I feel like I can be ready for the Green Bay game. Absolutely, for sure. Is it just too early to say that, or do you feel optimistic about that possibility?
I think we've got to evaluate the full thing, see how he is moving around as the day goes. And then certainly he's got a high ankle sprain, and every one of those are different. And we'd love to have him back for Green Bay, but at the same time, we also got to, you know, understand the injury is what it is, and it'll play out.
How much does the game plan change when Lamb gets injured and now Pickens is your number one receiver?
Well, I think it changes quite a bit when you when you're able to have both out there. It's a huge plus. Certainly, Pickens can do a great job for us in the role, but I think everything takes one step back. From there, I think Turpin's doing a great job for us. But when you got all three of those guys out there, it's a lot for the defense to take a look at. And we are running the ball well when we do run it, and Ferguson's doing a good job there in the middle. But, when you miss a player like CD, it certainly makes a difference.
Now, speaking of the running game, like you said, y'all have been running the ball very well. But also, we saw it yesterday, there have been two really, really hurtful turnovers from the running backs in these first three games. Do you feel like that strip fumble from Tyreek Stevenson kind of changed the trajectory of the game yesterday?
No, I mean, it's a tough one. Don't get me wrong. If one of the big things, that's just reality. We're not getting the ball and we're not protecting the ball. I mean, yesterday we have four turnovers and we get none. It's not a good recipe in this league when you have that type of differential in that area. And we've got to continue to work on protecting the ball. But I think, Javonte came back and was running the ball really well. I think if anything, it had him running harder, because he was wanting to make up for it. But, obviously those things hurt you, and especially on the road in a game like that, a turnover's certainly something that is not what you're trying to avoid. So, we just have to move forward and continue to stress to protect the ball. And we got to, obviously we got several things on defense that, we've got to execute on better. And right now getting the ball is certainly not happening. We got to be better at that.
Yeah. And Stephen, the first game after we talked, I felt like, hey, this team did not look sloppy at all. And for lack of a better word, the last couple of games have kind of felt pretty sloppy defensively. Do you think that's a fair use of that word?
Yeah, I don't know if it's sloppy, if it's lack of execution, but we're certainly, I don't think this is something where you look at it and say, hey, it's personnel issues. Right now we're not executing. We're not getting the job done, and we're giving up way too many explosive plays. We are getting them in third downs at times, but then we're not executing on third down. And this is just something that, we've just got to be better all the way around on defense in terms of executing. And I think that's a big part of it right now.
And I just want to make sure I heard the first part of that correctly. You do not believe it is talent or personnel issues that have led specifically to some of these problems?
No, I think this is certainly it's execution. I mean, you always want your best guys out there, but that's no excuse. We've got to go out. We've got to execute. Everybody, all 11 have to execute their assignments, and good things will happen. But right now, we're not getting that done. We're giving up way too many explosive plays. We're not getting the ball. and we're not making the plays we need to make on third down.
I've heard this mentioned multiple different times, Steven, so I was kind of curious your thoughts on it. How much does three straight different defensive coordinators in three straight years do you think affects the way things are, especially this early in the season, too?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly believe that we're going to go chop wood and get back to work, and we're going to execute better with each week. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you don't get around that you've had three straight coordinators, three straight different coordinators, and, you know, we just have to work through that. You know, it happens to teams. Teams get new coordinators, and ultimately they can go out and execute and play good defense in this particular case. But we've got a lot of work to do here.
The other term that keeps being brought up, I mean, through the game and afterwards, is not much, not enough pass rush. And they keep bringing up Micah's name. Do you think Micah would be the difference for this defense right now and this team's current record? Yeah.
You know, I'm worried about the guys who are on this football team, and we've got to figure out how to execute, play winning defense, and make it happen, you know, with each week with the guys we have. I mean, every team has challenges with injuries, with different things, and, you know, that's no excuse. We've got to go out. We've got to execute the defense, and I believe in Coach Schottenheimer and Coach Eberflus. He's been successful in this league, you know, for many, many years, and, you know, I believe they'll get the job done.
Now, one of the people that is on the roster, you talked a lot last week about the ramp-up process for Jadeveon Clowney. I know, obviously, he was inactive yesterday, but do y'all think he's going to be on track then to play against the Packers?
Yes, fully expect him to be ready to come in and help. And, you know, we're going to look at, obviously, be looking at this film very closely and, you know, seeing exactly where our shortfalls are and seeing where we can do some things differently to have success. And I certainly believe, you know, we've got the coaching staff and we've got the players to execute and play good defense.
Can you walk us through, like, historically or going into the hire, what is it about Eberflus's track record that made you believe to begin with that he was the right guy for this defense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he went on to Indy, was named coordinator from his time here in Dallas. You know, he did a lot of great things here under Marinelli, and then, you know, he had top of the line defenses at Indy to a point where you know, this league seems to go with offensive coordinators as head coaches, but, you know, he made an impact in Indy as a coordinator there and had all top defenses. And then, you know, he didn't call the defense his first year in Chicago, but then once he started calling the defense again, they had really good defenses in Chicago. So track record's very good. We're very comfortable with Coach Eberflus and how he coaches and what he brings to the table, and certainly understand, you know, everybody's going to look hard at anything that's not having success right now, and we're certainly struggling on that side of the ball.
Trayvon Diggs has had his own series of struggles this year. I know he popped up on the injury report, and then he got hit in the shoulder. I know he went back in the game. For everything you know, Trayvon Diggs is coming out of that game feeling all right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's obviously, you know, had a shoulder issue there when he made the tackle out in open field there. But, you know, this is part of the game. I mean, it's a violent game out there. And certainly, you know, guys get beat up during the course of a season. And, you know, he did, you know, came out of the game there for a little bit, but went back in and everything checked out. And, you know, he came back out and finished strong.
When you talk about the defense executing better, how high up on that list is the tackling? Because there was one play in particular where I know Kenny Clark got dinged up for a second, but there were at least 3 to 4 missed tackles on that play. How concerning is missed tackles early in the season?
You know, I think there's a fine line there between, you know, wrapping up and tackling and punching the ball out. And certainly, you know, we're stressing turnovers and getting the ball, and we want to punch the ball out. But sometimes you sacrifice a little on your tackling accuracy when you go for the punch outs. And that's certainly something I know they're going to continue to look at, the give and take that comes with that. But as you know, you've watched the games, you know, when these defenses go for the punch outs, they're not wrapping up. They're slamming down on the ball and trying to get the ball out and not necessarily wrapping up and you know, taking the runner to the ground. So there's a fine line there, but, you know, there's a, you know, it's the full body of work of what we got to improve on the defensive side of the ball. I do think we're doing some really good things defensively and stopping the run, but, you know, we just got a lot of work to do and we're going to go to work.
Does it, has there been any, do you think there will be any extra focus specifically in the first half? Because I know you said it's the full body of work for the defense, but this defense has really put the team in a hole in these first halves, giving up an average of 19.3 points in the first half alone.
Yeah, I mean, we've just, you know, I think it seeps into, you know, the full game. I mean, if you start out strong, it obviously helps. You know, we got a great three and out to start the Chicago Bear game. But, you know, obviously we gave up some big plays there in the first half that led to touchdowns. And, you know, we've just got to continue to practice hard and execute and have that roll over into the games. That we execute during the games and play the type of defense we need to play to win football games.
Steven, I think it was about half the plays that Dak had for passing were too high safety. And I'm just kind of curious because a lot of things, Jake Ferguson had a big game underneath yesterday. And I'm just kind of curious, is there a way to beat that too high safety for Dak, or is it just we have to settle for whatever's underneath and just figure our way out there?
No, we have. Certainly we feel like we can beat two high safeties for big plays. It certainly helps when you game plan with CD being in the game. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of taking what they were giving us there. But we certainly have, two high coverage beaters in our offense that we feel good about. And at the same time, we can execute. And as you said, Ferguson had a real nice game there underneath yesterday. I do feel like we're running the ball well.
Yeah.
And we're going to get our opportunities to make our own explosive plays.
Yesterday after the game, Jerry did say that he still believes this is a playoff team. And I don't necessarily need you to speak for Jerry on this, but if that's the belief within the walls of that place, is it because there's still a lot of season left? Because you see some growth? What are your feelings on what he said there?
Oh, I do. I mean, that's why we're in the business for mm-hmm. is to get in the tournament, and we've got a lot of work to do. We certainly understand that. We think we've got a lot of good things that are going for this team, and we do think we should only get better as the season progresses. And one of the guys in the locker room said, "Hey, this is a 17 round fight and we're only in the third round." So we've got obviously got a lot of work to do, but we feel like that with this coaching staff and with this group of players that we'll do the things that we have to do to be successful.
You know, when you talk about a lot of good things to take away from this team so far, obviously a lot of fans are looking for positives today. I know you talked about the positivity of doing well against in the run defense and then doing well running the ball. Are there any other particular aspects or players or anything that you're like, hey, this is working early on?
Well, I think we can move the ball, throwing the ball. I think Dak's having, he's having a great year so far. I mean, that was unfortunate on the pick. To Pickens, where it unfortunately bounced up in the air off his hands. But, I do think we can move the ball against anybody. And I do believe that, we're going to do the things that we have to do to execute on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the back end, to make the plays we have to make to have success.
I know there can be a fine line between showing that passion and maybe going too far. I appreciated how frustrated George Pickens was after that interception. Any issue with like the slamming of the helmet or anything like that?
I mean, that's something that Coach Schottenheimer addresses with the players. And like you said, he's an emotional guy. We've had guys like that here before, whether it's Michael Irvin or, Dez Bryant, all those guys showed emotion at different times. And they're competitors, and they want to win. And when they make a play that they're not happy with, then a lot of emotion comes out. And certainly that's part of it.
And, Steven, before we let you go, yesterday Mozzie was active. Was there a particular thing that he had done that was necessitated him being activated?
Well, Coach Schottenheimer stresses, that we compete every day. And, when he wasn't active the first 2 weeks, he's really been practicing hard. And we just felt like he deserved the chance to go out there and play, that he had practiced really well. And I think he'll continue that. I think the competition's good in there, you know, with the tackles we have. And I think they'll continue to work at it.
Thank you very much for the time, good sir. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, as you could probably guess, a lot of people had a lot of different thoughts. I want to cue in on the thing that I thought was most interesting, that there is a fine line between tackling and the punch out and kind of making sure you don't sacrifice too hard one way or another. And because the Cowboys have struggled with some of the tackling, and I do appreciate that he went, I don't always feel like we get what's on his mind about some of these questions, but I liked that answer because it definitely sounded like he was like, hey, we might have to pull back just a little bit on some of those punch out attempts to make sure we're actually wrapping up and tackling. When he talks about the concept of execution, I feel like that's pretty high on the list.
Yeah, Kevin, that and maybe being a little closer when it comes to some of these plays. Like, it just, there were some plays where the punch out didn't even feel like it would have been would have helped.
Yeah,
because they're 3-4 yards away from anything even happening. That was kind of tough, and that's where, you know, he's talking about that execution on the defensive side. I know that's the word for it, and he's just saying, basically he's saying, this is the plan. Eberflus is putting this plan together. He's been successful at it before, and they believe he can be successful at it again. They just got to get the combination of the players and the coach working together on that thing.
And then I know out there in the world, there is the thought that essentially a high ankle sprain means you're going to be out for 4 weeks. But we just got the answer from Steven right there, as they'll progress it as it goes along. But CD after the game said he thought he could absolutely play against Green Bay. But remember, this is also kind of in the same cluster of answers where he goes, you know, sometimes I have to kind of be like reined in just a little bit for my own good. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he was like, I want to be out there. And so sometimes the medical staff, the coaching staff has to slow me down just a little bit. So I think that will be an interesting balance throughout the week as you move forward towards Green Bay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys at 1-2. Is there any saving this season? The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open for you at 877-881-1053. Seems like a lot of issues to get corralled here if you want to come back and have any sort of success. I guess after the Packers, you're going to get the Jets and Panthers, so maybe they can get some momentum built by then. General at your service, what do you think? There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40 with his film takeaways. Of course, we're going to do a lot of those right here. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You fixing to go full five today. Rangers have the day off. We'll give you 5 hours of sports. Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with Brad Sham and Kevontae Turpin. Should be interesting. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are here. And Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. A little bit of breaking news. Nick Bosa did suffer a season-ending torn ACL during their win over the Cardinals. Clean tear. Bosa will need season-ending surgery. So that's a tough one for them. Cowboys dealing with their own injury, of course, there with CeeDee Lamb. Conflicting reports, you know. When you can walk off and you try to come back in and you can jog but just not cut, I feel like that's a couple of weaker. But the 4 to 6 weeks thing is out there on social right now. Brian, yeah, what are you hearing?
The several weeks is what I heard. I never got a number, a specific number, but I did get the high ankle sprain like people were talking about. But I never got a pin down on the number.
Well, Archer just put out a few minutes ago 3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4.
Okay. Which would mean if it's 3, you get him back for Washington. If it's 4, hopefully the Broncos game.
It really doesn't matter because in back-to-back weeks, you had Russell Wilson and Caleb Williams put up their best games of the season, probably against you is what we're looking at. Then the Giants, they go play Kansas City, who's got a good but not great defense. They're a one-touchdown team again, sitting there with 9 points, single-digit points. I just don't know how this defense got so bad. Like, all of these picks you've invested in, you finally fixed defensive tackle. We're used to linebacker being just mid or maybe even below average. But I guess Trayvon Diggs not being able to come back from the microfracture surgery and be anything close to what he was, at his peak. I guess the Deron Bland injury there. The pass rush not really having anything. It's got to be one of the worst group of pass rushers in the NFL, at least if you're grading on a curve.
Misevaluated that. But before they made the trade, you probably felt like that you could kind of put things together. What was Stephen Jones's line?
Simulated pressure.
Well,
manufactured pressure.
Bingo. That was it. And that's Matt Eberflus talking to Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. And yeah, he's saying Flus can manufacture pressure. That has been the one thing that has been ringingly wrong about this team. They cannot manufacture pressure with rushing four the way they are. They went into this trade feeling like that they could do that with the guys they had. That's where the misevaluation mm-hmm. has been. You know, it's you talk about stopping the run. Well, what stops the run is you scoring a massive amount of points on somebody. Dallas got it happen to him yesterday. We're all super happy about the run game right now, right?
Yeah.
Cowboy run game.
Both sides.
Whoa, 7.8 yards a carry. You got beat by what? 17 points? Yeah. So that's kind of where you're at right now. The run game stuff, run defense and all that stuff doesn't matter when you're struggling to be able to get people off the field. And the one thing that how Dallas is going to win these games is they're going to have to outscore people, and they're going to have to hope what happens in the Giants game, they get a stop or they get two stops and they get maybe a turnover. That's really how
turnovers
are. That's how the Bears beat you yesterday. They got stops and they got turnovers. And that ultimately was, and you know, they made you punt twice in the game. So that's how you're going to lose football games if Dallas's offense is not good enough, because their defense clearly is, and we knew going in this game it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, they're tied for the worst in terms of turnover differential entering tonight's game with the Dolphins, so that's not good. But to me, I mean, how did this defense get so bad? They have 25 picks on defense since 2021, not including this past draft. 15 of those picks are no longer on the team.
Mm.
Marshawn Nealand and Maris Leofau, I don't know. We'll see about them. Mozzie, Sam Williams, Damone Clark, not good. Bland, Overshown, hurt. Diggs, supposed to be one of your better players. He's been hurt. He's not playing well.
No training camp.
Osa Digizua, probably your most consistent. That's the one. And even he's not making a noticeable impact. Akeem Bisoute is not on the team, and you just drafted him this past year. So, Shamar James, Jay Toia, inactive yesterday. Those are guys that you just took. Ravel and Easy, we'll see. And then you traded Micah Parsons. But for a team that's draft and develop, they haven't drafted well enough on defense. And now you're starting to see a talent-deficient team on that side of the ball.
Fair.
Yeah, one of the worst defenses we've ever seen. Like, I think this might be worse than the 2020 group.
Oh, they've had that was a historically bad defense. And you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, we're heading that way.
Yeah.
And I think offensively, we can be optimistic about what it'll look like when CeeDee Lamb is back. But there's no guarantee. You know, your offense isn't so good that you can rubber stamp it. Hey, it's a bad defense. You're going to go light them up. I think the tackles struggle so much to contain pressure that if you're up against a team that can pressure you, that does have good ends, I think that's going to negate your good offense. So I feel like every week I've downgraded how many wins I think they're going to get, and now I'm in like the 5 to 7 range. I think seven's best case scenario. Your defense is going to be so bad, you're going to go up against bad offenses all year long. And like Bryce Young, well, that's 375 yards and four touchdowns. That's how bad this is. Like, these quarterbacks will never see a group of corners as bad as what the Cowboys are going to be trotting out there. And I guess that'll change a little bit with Deron Bland. But still, two of your other guys are going to be blinking easy lights. And the safeties don't offer much help.
Well, see, and we thought the same thing going into the game about the Bears, and you didn't take advantage of that.
Nope.
So that's the trade-off right there. Dallas has to be almost perfect on offense in order for them to have any chance right now to win this, to win these games. You know, and that's unfortunate. We're putting a lot on Dak. You know, people are saying, well, damn, that's his job. He's the quarterback. You should. Well, you know, the guy that you got playing the best right now is Williams at running back. We'll see what happens with these receivers with Lamb being out the next 3 weeks or so. But the only chances they're really going to have is to figure some things out with the, you know, with the running game. Maybe they can kind of keep people at arm's length with their running game a little bit and give their defense a break. But that's kind of where they're. But it's going to be now about scoring somehow every possession.
Yeah,
you know, because you're in a mode right now where your defense can just not hold up. And I don't know if it's communication, it's scheme, coaching, players, but man, there's some things on that film yesterday I was watching, and there, it looked like to me down there when DJ Moore was wide open, Zach, help me here, you watched, I know, the thing is that I couldn't tell if they were playing half the field was man and half the field was zone.
You have a ton of confusion.
I couldn't even diagram what they were trying to do.
Yeah, and then guys are biting on the run fakes, they're sliding to where now you're creating a wide open wide receiver. People are biting on the wrong routes underneath, thinking maybe they've got help on the backside. They don't. It's tough. I mean, you've got one half of the field looks like maybe they're playing cover three. The other's trying to play cover one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a ton of. I mean, there's times where like.
And that could be intentional.
Maybe.
That's a tactic that DCs are using.
Yeah. Well,
and maybe that's what they're talking about where the confusion is. Because like last week when we're hearing out of the locker room where players are like, yeah, this is more confusing than it was last year with Zim. And we're looking at each other like, well, how the hell hard is cover two? Maybe that is. Maybe that's what it is. And when Shoddy's talking about simplifying things, maybe that is what they need to do. Because right now it ain't working.
No, and there's just a general lack of awareness when they're in zone, the way that players are moving behind them. They're not checking their shoulders to figure out where the targets are. I mean, it looks bad. And then, you know, on top of that, at best, you have, you know, guys that I guess can cover a little bit in man, but still they're very vulnerable there as well. So, you know, where does this go from here at 877-881-1053? Can you believe how bad this group of Cowboys is there's just nobody on the edge, no linebacker, no corner that you feel good about. And, you know, there's no reason to believe this changes. So it's only week four, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Have people been reaching out to you about covering this draft already? And what could be possible?
Yeah, that's when I know that people have asked, I've been tagged in a lot, when does draft show start and all that. But yeah, you know, it's hey, it's unfortunate that you know, every game it looks like it's a little closer to maybe having to get something started like that, and we're only 3 weeks in. But yeah, I don't see
it should be a good spot to take an edge or a tackle or a corner.
Yeah, and the thing you might want to worry about if you're a Cowboy fan is, would Jerry Jones make a move with one of these picks on a team that might not be good enough to go make a move for one of these picks?
I think if you could get a corner and an edge, you might be talking. Get a corner, an edge, and a great linebacker, and I think that would fix this defense. So it's just a matter of how aggressive you want to be, but you would have to do all three of those.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you interested in moving one of those? Okay.
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're moving your own pick, if you're moving your, considering your own pick here, the way it looks right now, you look like you're going to pick in the top five.
Yeah.
The way, I mean, I would be really careful with that. I would be really, really careful if, in fact, that you move.
Yeah, we're going to need a great player.
And you move your own pick, and then all of a sudden, you're going to need a great player out of this. If you move Green Bay's pick, that might be a little bit different story. That's a different area code you're talking about.
And the Joneses are out here selling. They're saying, we'll move our picks. Jerry's saying, yeah, we're still a playoff team. Steven today on KNC saying it's not a talent thing, it's execution. I think that is the biggest batch of BS that they've spun all year.
Totally.
And there's been a lot of BS spinning going on. So I think what I want them to be processing is this is a great rebuild year. You look at the schedule. It's not meant to be. You're going to be bad some years in the NFL. If we embrace that, don't rush guys back from injury, develop guys, then have a top five pick, you could get an outstanding edge. You could replace Micah Parsons, or you could replace Terrence Steele. There's a lot of things you could do.
But now Zach's got me nervous about how they've been drafting defensively. You know,
that hasn't been good.
And then, you know, that's the thing. It looks like to me that the Booker and the Tyler Smiths, we'll see with Guyton. I felt like personally in the game, watching the tape, I kind of felt like Steele was worse than what Guyton was.
Steele was bad.
In pass protection, he was not good
at all. And that's where I even tweeted out, too, that I felt like that maybe this might be a week that you think about Nate Thomas. You know, Nate, to me, Steele and Micah Parsons just does not seem very good right now. That doesn't seem like a really good matchup for me right now. But I might consider somebody with a little bit more power over there, like a Nate Thomas, somebody like that, a little bit bigger guy. They just, you know, you can't just keep getting compressed like Steele has been. He can't set his feet. He's not strong enough. It's just now the run blocking stuff. Actually, there's been some good things of him doing that. But the pass protection stuff is really making me kind of nervous.
Good things that happened in the game. 121 yards on 20 carries. It was Javonte Williams, 10 carries for 76 yards. I do feel like, you know, 2-1, way too many passes. We know it, just teams in general, the more they pass, it doesn't bode well for their success. But I would love to see them optimize a game plan around running the ball. I think with CeeDee and Pickens and them telling themselves that Dak's an MVP candidate, I think they get a little bit carried away with trying to design too much of a pass-first offense.
They really have no choice, though, to be honest with you. I mean, they got behind. I mean, they got back in the game with some balance, but then all of a sudden that offense, and maybe it is running when you're tied. Maybe it is running the ball more, trying to do more of that. I know one thing. If I got down to the goal line on that fourth down, that interception, I'm running the ball twice.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to get
the fade.
I don't know why you get cute down there, but yeah, I agree with you, Dawson. I just wonder if you get behind, it forces you to play. It takes you out of the run game stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're behind and you're like, you just, okay, great. We're just going to keep grinding out. And the next thing you know, it's like what the Bears did to you with that drive, and you take 8 minutes off the clock and now you're still behind, you know, in the game. But I like what you're trying to say. I think running the ball is a good thing.
If you're going to be down 3 scores in the fourth quarter, I get passing at that point.
Sure.
But going forward without CeeDee Lamb, there's got to be a concerted effort. Like, what else can we do to try to ramp up this run game and get more ball control going on, keep this defense off
the problem field?
Keep them off.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to probably have to go on drives where you have to be perfect. And you know,
there's no margin for error for the offense.
There's no, and the one thing that sets you back, they had to punt one time because they had a holding penalty.
And then the sack to start the second half. They were moving the ball. They get around midfield.
Yeah.
You have that big sack, and that ruined the entire drive. And from that point on, the game was over.
To his point, they were running the ball makes you not have to.
Like, I thought they actually had pretty decent balance when it was 14-14, and then it was just wheels off.
Jake Ferguson, our guy, had another 13 catches. Dude has, 27 catches now in 3 games? Would like a little bit more big play factor from it, but
a lot more.
Love would
the Yak's just not. He can't make a man miss. I put that in the notes to ask him on Thursday. Hopefully he doesn't get ticked off.
It seems like the offense is built around, let's try and get Ferguson the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah, there were a couple times we'll talk about they threw the ball into a blitz. You know, it's one of those things that you get a slot blitz and they're throwing it basically hot is what they're doing. Dak's just trying to kind of get rid of it. But man, I swear when people go back and watch the tape, you're gonna see how many spots or opportunities where they had exactly what happened with Turpin that they didn't do that. They
Turpin down the sideline or Turpin on that over route?
What you have is the we call the hole shot. It's between the safety on that cover two safety and the corner. And you throw it right, you just run right into that hole and you throw it in there. And then it's exactly how it worked. It worked perfectly. And they had some opportunities to get more of those. They had an exchange route too with Tolbert, that I mean they switched routes with him and Pickens and it went up to silence and Dak checked it down, and you know that's you know you got to try and make that throw down the field if you can. And But he might not trust the line completely. He might not trust Steele completely or Guyton, you know, to make those throws. But it's a little unfortunate they left some of those plays out on the field.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on a Cowboys Monday on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.